It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma. Great to see you.
Hey, good to see you as well, Tony. Nice to be able to visit here.
Okay. Oklahoma would like to say things are going really well right now in Oklahoma, but we've had some disasters.
Yeah, we're wet, I'd say the least, and we've had some pretty severe storms and downdraft winds and tornadoes, and so we've definitely faced it this spring with a record number of severe weather outbreaks.
You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but I would say Tornado Alley has definitely moved to the east over the last few years.
It has, actually. We're not seeing necessarily fewer in Oklahoma, just less large, long-track type tornadoes. But the rain that we had that came in this year was pretty remarkable and very historic in a lot of ways. Whether that's in Green Country in the Northeast, where we had so much water come through for so long, preceded by that in Nebraska, historic flooding in Kansas, and then it came to Green Country, and of course now it's heading down to Arkansas as well. So that's a long-term recovery from that. Tornado damage, lots of fields that got flooded out in the West, right close to harvest, and so we've really faced it this time. And it's different than it has been in the past, where typically we'll face multiple large tornadoes. This time it's been a lot of flooding.
And you also forgot to mention the fact that back to the west, usually you're dealing with drought situations.
Right. We are dealing with drought typically at this point, or at least talking about how we're going to plan for the summer. At this point, every single pond, every tank, every lake is full. And that's a good thing for us as we approach the summer. But it was a remarkable thing to be able to watch for throughout the course of the spring. And now we're talking about managing water flow rather than trying to get water flow into those different ponds and lakes.
Just last week, disaster relief passed, signed into law. How important is that? And when you look at disaster aid packages that come through, how do you characterize this?
So disaster aid packages are all a little bit different when they come through, but this one dealt a lot with ag, actually, and trying to do ag assistance, additional USDA grants, additional disaster grants, a lot of first responder grants to be able to help out, paying overtime for folks that have been actually out there on the field, a lot of cities and communities that can't cover that. There's also some grants that are made that give the state and local municipalities a little discretion, and they're called mitigation grants. They can try to determine what's the best thing they need to have right here, right now. So, for instance, if you're in a major disaster county, and we've got 10 of those now in the state of our 77 that are declared major disaster areas, those mitigation grants that come in there, they could be done for a buyback. For instance, in a flooding, if they were flooded in 86 and then they're flooded again this time, they sit down with the community and try to determine, is it better to be able to buy this place back than it is to be able to try to rebuild it again, knowing that we're going to get major flooding again in a couple of decades here in this spot. Or they could use it to try to build some additional levee supports or additional drainage or try to rebuild some infrastructure. They've got a little flexibility in those different spots where they've got that major disaster declaration there. And then you've got the FEMA assistance. Now, FEMA assistance typically is public assistance that's trying to, again, help first responders, help in cities and communities as they help people. But in the major disaster areas, it also includes individual assistance, where individuals can step in and say, my place was hit by the tornado, or my place had major wind damage, or my place was flooded, and they can apply from FEMA and get a little extra money. It's not designed to be insurance or replacement for their property. It's most often just helping them, you know, get a hotel room, get a place, have some transition money to be able to help carry them through until they can get to the next spot.
This all happens at the same time. If we're talking about ag, obviously weather's not something you control. And here's another one that farmers can't control, and that's trade or trade disruptions and or tariffs. I'm just going to tee this one up for you. Where are we right now?
Yeah, it's the single biggest issue I get from most folks in ag country, and that is just a simple question. Where are the tariffs going? When are we going to get things resolved? When the president wanted to go back and renegotiate NAFTA, there were some folks that said, okay, I'm a little nervous because NAFTA's been very helpful for Oklahoma and farm country by far. We've opened up a lot of new markets. We export a lot into Mexico and Canada. There are some areas that we have some problems, wheat being one of those. Canada is historic for downgrading our wheat every time it crosses their border. We had to resolve that. There's some other issues we've got to resolve. But we wanted to be able to see a better deal, basically, than the NAFTA, but wanted to keep the gains that we've already had. So what the president's brought back is what's now called the USMCA. I think of it as YMCA, only with the U.S. at the beginning of it. So the USMCA agreement tries to maintain the gains that we've had in ag, settle the issues like wheat into Canada and other issues. A lot of it deals with manufacturing. That's not as much of an issue to us in the ag area. But they're trying to get this resolved. All three countries have got to pass it, Mexico, Canada, and the United States, through their legislatures. Mexico has it right now. In the United States, it has to pass to the House of Representatives first. That's the way, because as revenue, constitutionally, it has to go to the House first. There's a lot of encouragement we're trying to put on Nancy Pelosi to actually bring it up. Politically, you know, her voice is, hey, I don't want to give the president a win. But quite frankly, nationwide, the country gets a win on this. This is not about the president. This is about everybody in the country getting a win from it. So we're trying to encourage Democrats in the House to be able to take this up, actually vote on it, pass it, come to the Senate. It'll certainly pass in the Senate and be able to move on and get that resolved. That helps. Second big issue that's moving right now is trying to expand markets in Japan, where they've got some pretty major tariffs on us right now. Beef's a big one on that. And to be able to settle the long-term issues we've got with China. With China, there's a lot of export that we can do, pork being one of the lead of those that we can get into China. They desperately need it. They've got some issues with pork production right now in China that they need a lot more production than what they have, and we could certainly supply that. So the quicker that the president can get to a deal and get this resolved in China, the better for our markets and for our communities, not only for soybeans and pork and beef, but every product we've got will benefit by opening up those markets in Japan and with China.
Last one here for you, and it's just looking at the rest of the year. Obviously, you've identified some of those things. Is there a couple other big issue items that you're looking at for the rest of this year?
So trying to get the tariff issues resolved. Quite frankly, the when we're not talking about tariffs, that's a better thing because it's a more stable market. People can plant and produce and know that they've got markets that they're actually headed to. So my encouragement to the president is all these negotiations need to get resolved as quickly as possible. That brings some stability back to everyone and they know how to be able to actually plan in the future. And we've had lots of dialogues about it. Last Saturday, he called me late in the day and we talked about tariffs for about 10 minutes or so on the phone, just talking back and forth about what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, and my encouragement to him was, you know, thanks for engaging in all these issues, but we got to get them resolved as quickly as we possibly can. So I think that's a big issue. The immigration issue is obviously a big issue for the president and is a big issue for the nation. We have record numbers of people that are crossing the border illegally in ways that we have actually never seen as a country. 144,000 people crossed the border illegally just in May, 144,000. So those numbers we've not seen, and they're coming in family units and thousands of unaccompanied minors, most of them 15, 16, 17-year-old guys that are crossing the border saying, hey, I'm an unaccompanied minor, and they want to come in the country. Our current loopholes in the law means they just come in right away. So we have this tremendous influx of 100,000-plus teenagers unaccompanied coming into the country. And that's not a great mix for us. We've got to be able to resolve how we're handling immigration and how we handle border enforcement. And those loopholes in the law the president's fighting about, it's got to have a vote from the House and the Senate to be able to actually deal with that. So that'll be a big issue for us for the rest of the year as well.
Great to see you. Thanks for your work. Wish you the best throughout the rest of the year.
Tony, appreciate that very much. Looking forward to getting a chance to bump into folks that get a chance to travel around the state.
Again, it's the Honorable Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma on today's Agribusiness Report.